When you walk into the new Kansas Gallery at the Nerman Museum in Johnson County, you come immediately face to face with a giant photograph of a dusty old library. Brown wood shelves carry rows and rows of books. Old-fashioned spinning globes can be found throughout the space for your geographic reference. You can almost smell the musk of leather book bindings and aging paper. But there's something else going on in the photograph, too. Trees are growing up through cracks in the floor. Roots have rocked the foundation, leaving a trail of debris on the floor. Vibrant green treetops reach up toward the sky through a gaping hole in the ceiling. There are no people in this library. It belongs to nature now. This is the world of Lori Nix, a Kansas-born artist now living in Brooklyn. It's a photograph of a real place in a way. Lori creates and photographs handmade dioramas complete with miniature furniture and tiny trees. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'd like to welcome Lori Nix to KCUR's Central Standard. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Gina.
The photographs in this series, The City, depict not just libraries, but laundromats, Chinese restaurants, museums, and they've all been taken over. Bees have invaded the museum. Honey drips from stately portraits and chiseled nude sculptures. The wood paneling at the laundromat is peeling off of the walls, and a fox is the only customer at the Chinese place. Would you call these scenes post-apocalyptic?
Yes, I would, even though I think that's a very heavy word to use, but it's the first word that comes to mind, post-apocalyptic.
Well, is it too heavy for what you feel you're doing?
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. I think I leave the disaster up to the viewer to decide what happened and why is mankind gone. You know, it could be a asteroid strike, it could be climate change, it could be a virus, whatever you want to imagine, but this is like the city after we are left.
I've read that it takes you years to create each diorama before you begin photographing it. Tell me about that process of building these little spaces.
Well, they take anywhere from 7 months all the way up to 15 months, but I think about them for a couple of years before I even start building them. And I'm not building them by myself. I work with my partner, Kathleen Gerber, so we work on these together.
How do you do it? What is it that you're thinking about for those years leading up to the construction process, first of all?
I'm thinking about the color palette. I'm thinking about what the camera is going to see. And then I start gathering material to start building these, because we do build most everything that you see by hand and from scratch.
Talk to me about building the museum. I mean, because to build this museum environment that you photographed, I would think you also had to make the art inside of it.
We did. We could have easily just opened up any art history text and scanned the image and then reprinted it, but Kathleen and I really want these to be as real as possible. So she opened up the art history textbooks and chose paintings that she liked, and then she just repainted them.
How big are they?
Oh, tiny, like 3 inches by 4 inches. Some are only 2 by 2 inches, so pretty small.
I mean, to look at the photographs, it does feel a lot like you're looking at real spaces. It's to translate the world, first of all, into miniature like that, what is the experience? I mean, it sounds pretty fun for something that's about to become post-apocalyptic.
It is fun. I mean, I spent an entire summer just making miniature library books, each one carved out of foam and painted and then placed on the shelf. So the work can be repetitive, but we're working in our Brooklyn apartment, so we are actually listening to the radio when we work. Listening to NPR the
Good
whole
choice.
Time. Thank you. And we just, you know, spend our hours working at the table and with lots of tools around us and our cats and just enjoying the day.
Is it hard once you've created these scenes to, dismantle them with natural disasters?
Oh, absolutely not. I have had dinner with them. I've watched TV with them. They are like a guest that needs to leave. So when I dismantle a scene, it just means I'm ready to start the next one. So I have no problem breaking them down and throwing them away.
When you get to the point where you're ready for like a tree to like bust through the whole scene or something like that, I mean, is that the last step? Is the whole thing put together before nature intervenes?
Actually, the last step is destroying the scene. So I build these as realistic and as complete as possible. And then I leave the apartment and Kathleen starts destroying them. So the very last things that go into the scene are paint drips and dust to make it look like it is aged.
You know, the name of the series, The City, caught my attention. You come from rural Kansas. Yeah. Do you think that your rural Midwestern roots are speaking through this series, even though it's called The City?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in the 1970s in rural Western Kansas, in Norton, Kansas. And there are a lot of natural disasters that seem to happen out there seasonally. Blizzards, tornadoes, insect infestations. And to a child, these are fun experiences. It gives us something to do that's new. You know, my parents got to worry about us, and we just got to go out and have, you know, have fun and play.
The Tourism Bureau should use that clip to sell Kansas for people.
Like, I couldn't wait for the first hailstorm of the you know, spring so I could go out and, like, pick up the ice. And, of course, I would stick it in my mouth and eat it. And not so healthy, but, you know, that is what I vividly remember from my childhood.
So would you say that, I mean, nature and, by extension, natural disaster were kind of forms of entertainment in your childhood?
Absolutely. If it wasn't happening outside the door, it was also taking place on television and in the movie theaters. I am a product of what is called dystopian cinema. So I grew up watching Planet of the Apes, Airport 76, The Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, because I'm 6 years old and I'm in the movie theater and I'm just terrified and enraptured and loving every minute of it. So I am definitely a product of disaster in some form or another.
Kansas, I mean, we're known for tornadoes around here, but you've mentioned a lot of other forms it can take. I mean, can you think of really memorable disaster-related experiences that felt fun to you, but maybe not entirely that way to adults?
I remember we were in Denver, Colorado, on summer vacation, and a rainstorm came up last minute, and parts of Denver just started flooding. And my dad was smart enough to pull the station wagon into a higher ground in a gas station. And everybody else was just kind of submerged, their car submerged in water. And him and my brother got out of the car to go to assist other people while the rest of us just stayed back and watched. So exciting, terrifying, but my dad was in charge, so we were safe.
Is this kind of sensibility and, like, I don't know, background, I guess, something that you carry with you even though you're a New Yorker now? I mean, do you see your urban environment through the lens of nature kind of having the last laugh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've lived in New York now for coming up on 17 years, and there are certain things that we're starting to experience that we've never experienced before, such as there has been a tornado in Brooklyn, and I remember it vividly because I missed it. I was in the subway, and I had gone above ground to go sit at my favorite bar to have an afternoon beer. And I was like, where's the bartender? Well, he was outside in the street pulling trees out of the middle of the road. And I was just totally oblivious to it. So, yeah, we still get adventure here in the city and natural disaster. And I still try to find the humor in it, if it's possible.
What do you think disaster scenes show us about ourselves?
Well, I think we're interested and titillated by looking at disaster. And I think we all kind of go into this whole weekend warrior mentality saying, I will survive this. I will get through this. I am bigger than this disaster. So I think it helps us, like, beat our chest and think that we can overcome.
Do you think that we're right?
No, absolutely not. Some of us will overcome and some of us will not. And, you know, if I was experiencing something incredibly disastrous at this very moment, I don't know if I would cower or if I would rise to the occasion. And I don't necessarily want to figure that out right now.
You want to be surprised.
I want to be surprised.
Because that's more
oblivious.
Suspenseful.
Yes.
Well, the fact that there are no people in these man-made spaces you create and then photograph is interesting to me. Foxes, bees, plants, they are all still around, but people are nowhere to be seen. Do you want us to see our place in the world differently? I mean, not just our fate, but our place.
Absolutely. I feel like what's happening now is all man-made, and we can change it if we choose to, but we seem to just be sticking our heads in the sand and kind of ignoring the big picture. And honestly, if we should disappear off the face of the earth, no one is going to miss us. Maybe the house cat and dog, but really, bees will be happy, bats will be happy, plants will be happy. It's just no one will be left to miss us. And I'm not sure that's such a bad thing.
What do you personally do with this information? I mean, the viewer is going to do his or her own thing with that take that you've presented in your art, but what do you do with it?
I'm just kind of this person that's like, you know, it is what it is, trying to make change a little bit here and there, but I am just as guilty of poisoning the environment as the next person. So I'm not here shaking my finger and preaching at you. I'm just making these scenes of this is our potential future, and it seems like we're getting closer and closer to it.
How have you picked the specific kinds of places that you want to show being dismantled in this way? I mean, laundromats and Chinese fast food places, but also, I mean, I would think in a kind of totally separate vein, places like libraries and museums.
Sure. I wanted to give a good cross-section of what a city has to offer, and it's high culture, medium culture, and low culture. And I can be just as entertained looking at the lobby of a fancy bank building as I can be entertained by the down-and-out Chinese restaurant around the corner in my neighborhood.
So, like, with people, we sometimes say death is the great equalizer, and with buildings, it sounds like you're saying apocalypse is the great equalizer.
Apocalypse is definitely the great equalizer.
How long have you lived in New York?
Since 1999.
Do you still see, like, when you have your work featured in the Kansas Gallery of a Kansas museum after all that time, I mean, do you think that your voice is still a Kansan voice?
I would think so. I'm very much a Kansas person. I still like to eat dinner 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. I still like to go to bed and wake up early. So I'm no longer in Kansas, but Kansas is definitely still in me.
The series that you've got on display there, I mean, it reminds me of some photographs I've seen from Cuba, where these once very stately homes have not been kept up, I mean, for a whole variety of reasons. And you can still see signs of wealth and opulence that they represented when they were built, but you can also see the decay and really entropy of what's come since. Your photographs make me think of that word also, entropy. I mean, the idea there being that anything we don't put energy into falls into a natural state of randomness and disorder. Are randomness and disorder part of what you're playing with?
That's an interesting question. I never really thought about it. But I would say, yes, entropy is definitely what I think about. And how we just don't really have control over Mother Nature, over the big picture.
Artist Lori Nix, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
You can see Lori's photographs at the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art at Johnson County Community College, where she'll be giving a talk about her work on March 24th. Coming up next on KCUR Central Standard, talking at live music shows. Is it okay? Call in with your perspective. 816-235-2888.